Romans chapter number 12 in the chapter 1, I'm sorry, Romans 1. We will end up in Romans 12, but we're going to go to Romans chapter 1 first. All right, last week I preached a message entitled, Where is Your Heart? Where is your heart? And we saw in God's Word last Sunday, church, if you'll remember, that there is a satanic world system that Satan has established on this earth right now, as I speak. It's operative, it's going, full force. Does anybody remember what the Bible refers to? What is the satanic system that's in place on this earth right now? What does the Bible refer to it as? Does anybody remember? You got it, the world. God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world is not of the Father. He said it's of the world. So the Bible refers to it as the world. Now the world system that we live in is from Satan, okay? It's decidedly anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-morality, rebellious, lawless, immoral, you name it. In fact, the Apostle Paul gives us kind of a snapshot of the world system that we live in, and he says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now listen to this snapshot. Listen to this snapshot of the world system. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They love themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. He says that they'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In fact, he said that they'll be despisers of those that are good. Now, that spirit right there that was just described, the spirit of the world once worked in all of us, Ephesians 2:2. We learned that last week. But the day that we trusted Christ as our Savior, we received another spirit. We received the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, you have received not the spirit of the world, but you have received the Spirit which is of God, that you may know the things that are freely given to you of God. You know, this morning, I want you to know that I am filled with praise and thanksgiving, that no longer does the spirit of the world operate in me. I got the Spirit of God living inside of me this morning. I've got the Spirit of Jesus Christ alive in me. And listen, at the very moment that you got saved, the very moment that you trusted Christ, your handout says that your complete identity changed. And you are now no longer part of this world system. You're no longer part of Satan's kingdom, but rather you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Look with me at Colossians 1:13 in your handout. It says that God has delivered us from... What has He delivered me from? Look at it. The power of what? I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Okay? But wait a minute. It gets better. Not only have I been delivered from my past identity, last week we learned that I have a new identity, a new position. Look at it. It says, He delivered me from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His, what? Dear Son. So now I'm a member of whose kingdom? Somebody tell me. Whose kingdom am I a part of now if I'm saved? I'm a part of Christ's kingdom. Look at the next verse, Galatians 1:4. Christ has, He gave Himself for our sins. Why? That He might deliver us from this present evil, what? World. According to the will of God and our Father. Listen, you are a member of Christ's heavenly kingdom if you're saved this morning, but here's the kicker. You are physically living on the earth in the midst of Satan's earthly kingdom. So here you are, a member of Christ's kingdom. I'm delivered out of this kingdom, but yet I'm physically still in it. Now, I'm no longer part of this world system that Satan has in place, been delivered from it, but yet I got to function in it and I got to live in it every day. Isn't it great to be able to come to church for an hour on Sunday morning or 2 hours on Sunday morning? Isn't it great to kind of get away from the world and be able to come in here and focus on God with other Christians? Isn't that great? But you know what? Most of your life isn't spent here in church, is it? Most of your life is spent out there, and you've got to function and you've got to live in this world system day in and day out. Why would God place you in a situation like that? Why would God deliver you out of this world system, place you in Christ's heavenly kingdom? Bible says we're already seated there, but yet physically, why would He leave you here in this world system of Satan's? Why would He do that? Why would God put us in such a precarious situation? It's very simple. You were left in this world system, not so you could blend in with it, not so you could just enjoy the pleasures of it. You were left in this world system so you could impact other people for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, man, I thought I was left here so I could make a bunch of money. No, that's not why you were left here. God did not leave you in this world system so that you could just enjoy the pleasures of the world, make a bunch of money, and then die. Listen, there is more to your life than getting up in the morning, going to work, coming home, turning on the TV, watching some TV, going to bed, and then getting up the next morning, going to work, then coming home, flipping on the TV, watching the TV, going to sleep, getting up the next morning, going to work, coming home, flipping on the TV. Y'all getting the point? There's more to your life than that. Are y'all with me? There's more to your life than that. God left you behind on this earth because there's a battle going on right now for the souls of people. And we're not wrestling against people. We're wrestling against Satan, the god of this world, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. And you, if you know the Lord, and if you've got God's Spirit inside of you, you're a threat to Satan's purposes. You're a threat to all that Satan wants to accomplish through his world system on this earth. And make no mistake about it, Satan desires to neutralize you. He wants to make you a non-factor in this world system in which you've been left. He wants you to be a non-factor. He wants to neutralize you completely. But on the other hand, God wants to use you as His ambassador. God says He's left you here to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes on foreign soil and represents His government. You're now part of the government, the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ, but yet you've been left behind on foreign soil as an ambassador to represent the Lord Jesus Christ in this wicked world system. And God has equipped you with a new identity. Aren't you glad for the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I have a brand new identity in Christ, and He's equipped me with a life-changing gospel message, and it's the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to be a radical agent of change and transformation of people's lives in this wicked world system in which we've been left. God has not called you to reform that world system. You're not going to reform this world system. Folks, listen, it's satanic at its root. It's evil at its core. The Bible says that the world one day is going to pass away. The fashion of the world is going to pass away. This world system is heading for the junk heap. It's going to burn up. You're not called to go out and try to reform the system. You know what we've been called to do? To go out there and to transform people's lives who are in bondage within the system. Your neighbor that doesn't know the Lord. The guy on the ball team, the guy at the gym, the lady who checks you out at the grocery store, the coworker, your friend, your neighbor, your grandma, your grandpa. You've been called to go out. And the Bible says we've been called to go out and be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You've been called to go out and shine as a light for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world system in which you've been left. Now, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, then the spirit of the world is still working in you. You're still in bondage to Satan. But if the Spirit of God lives in you, I want you to understand He left you here so you could be an impact on other people's lives. You know what, folks? When I leave this world, I don't want to just leave behind a house and a couple cars and maybe a little bit in a bank account, or even a lot in a bank account. You know what? When I check out of this earth, you know what? I want to leave some souls behind I've impacted for Jesus Christ. I want to leave behind some people that I know my life made a difference in their life. My life made a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. I impacted them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I check out, when my time comes to leave this earth, I don't want to just leave behind a bunch of stuff. I want to leave behind some people that I've impacted for the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you fulfill that calling to impact lives with the gospel and to impact lives for Christ? Number one, you ready? Here we go. How are you going to be an impact in this wicked world system? Number one, by zealously proclaiming the gospel. The word zealous means intense. Intense. To be hot. To glow. We say, boy, he's on fire for God. What do we mean by that? What do we mean when we say, man, he's on fire for God? We mean he's what? Yeah, he's intense about it. He's fired up. He's intense. He's red hot. He's on fire for God. We mean, man, he's zealous. He's fervent. Think about this a minute. How'd you get saved? Now, think about that. How did you end up coming to a place where you got saved and trusted Christ as your Savior? I want you all to think about that just a minute. What were the events that led up to you getting saved and trusting Christ? I'm curious. How many of you in here, think of the person that impacted you the most with the gospel of Christ? They had the greatest influence and impact on your life in you getting saved. Think about that. Okay, you got it? How many of you, that's somebody other than a full-time pastor at a church? It was a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, family member, a neighbor. How many of you, it was somebody other than a pastor? Raise your hand. Most of the hands. Do you see what I'm saying? It's people reaching people. It's you impacting your neighbor with the gospel. It's you speaking for Jesus at work. It's you talking about the Lord there, wherever He's placed you, wherever He's put you. Think about how you got saved. Now, let me ask you something. Does this describe it? You ready? Somebody told you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You heard it, you understood it, and it brought conviction to your heart. You trusted Jesus Christ to save you. His Holy Spirit then entered inside of you and began to change your life from the inside out. Does that describe it? Pretty much. Somebody share. Is that not what the gospel has the power to do? To change lives? Amen. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of that good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Why? For it is the, say it with me, power. It's the power of God, but what is it the power of God unto? What does it bring to people's lives? Salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. When we think about how you got saved, and somebody shared the gospel, and you understood it, you heard it, understood it, it brought conviction to you, you trusted Christ to save you, His Spirit came to live inside of you and begin to change your life. What did that whole string of events hinge on? Somebody had to tell you, didn't they? Somebody had to explain it to you. Somebody had to proclaim to you the gospel of Christ. In your handout it says the gospel of Christ, it's full of divine power. But God knows and Satan knows that if there's nobody to carry it to the lost, it cannot change one life. I want you to take your Bible and go over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever That means anybody, anywhere. Iceland, Lithuania, Africa, Daytona Beach, Ireland. Had a team go to Ireland this year. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what, church? Saved. But look at the next verse. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not what? Heard. How are they going to believe in somebody they've never heard about? And how are they going to hear without a what? And that is not talking about Pastor Dan right there, okay? When it talks about a preacher, just a minute ago I said, how many of you, the person that had the greatest impact in you trusting Christ was somebody other than a pastor? I would say 90% of the hands went up. You're that preacher in that verse. A preacher is just somebody who proclaims the truth. That's you at work. That's you in your neighborhood. That's you on the ball team. That's you at the gym. That's you at the grocery store. That's you in the aerobics class. That's you. With your family members at the family reunion. That's you. How shall they hear without a preacher? Listen, you can have a hand grenade and it's full of power, but if there's nobody to pull the pin and toss it, that's pretty useless. Someone's got to pull the pin. If you're going to release the power may be there, but if it's going to be released, somebody's got to pull the pin and toss it. The gospel has inherent power to change lives. Somebody's got to pull the pin and share it with somebody else. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody shared it with you? Aren't you glad that the power of the gospel changed your life? The power, I mean, listen, the gospel's got power. Somebody's got to pull the pin. Somebody's got to launch that thing. Somebody's got to proclaim it. Do you know how Satan wants to neutralize you in this world system? You know how he wants to neutralize you where you're not even a factor? You're not even, he's got this thing running, man. Satan's got his world system going full steam ahead. He really thinks he can overthrow God. Satan's got his world system of lawlessness and rebellion in place on this earth. And you know how he wants to neutralize you and make you a non-factor? Look in your handout. It says, he wants to intimidate you. He wants to intimidate you to keep your mouth shut about the gospel. He wants to intimidate you. Well, if I share the gospel, they may not like me anymore. If I tell my coworker about Christ, you know, how many of you have loved ones that you've been saved maybe 5 years, they don't even know you're a Christian. You've got distant relatives, you see them every 5-10 years at a family reunion, you've never opened your mouth to tell them about Christ. Isn't it time? You know, one of Paul's constant prayers was that Paul would have the boldness to continue sharing the gospel. Look with me in your handout, great passage. The context is prayer, Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. And he was asking them to pray for him. He said, I want you to pray for me. Why? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, what? Boldly. To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein, look at it, he said, in other words, him telling people about Jesus had landed old Paul in prison. I mean, he was zealous about it. It had landed him in prison. But he said, even in my bonds, look at it, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He was always asking people to pray that he'd have boldness. Look at this passage up here on the screen, Colossians 4. He said, with all praying also for us. What did he want them to pray about for him? He said that God would open unto us a door of what? Utterance. Why? To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray for me that I can open up my mouth and tell people about Christ as I ought to do. Satan's goal in this dispensation of grace today is clearly revealed in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Look at the screen, I'll show you. Look at it. But if our gospel be what? Hid. Well, wait a minute. If our gospel's hid, it's not hid to us. Brother Rob, we've been saved. Our gospel's not hid to us. We know the Lord. Amen, Brother Todd? Amen. So if our gospel be hid, it's not hid to us. It's not hid to the church, the body of Christ. If our gospel's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lost. Look at the next verse. You want to know what Satan's up to today? Satan's not in hell with a red suit, a pitchfork, and a big long tail. And horns. This is what Satan's up to right here. He's hiding people. He's trying to get that gospel message hid. In whom the God of this world, notice, what's he doing today? How is Satan functioning today? He's seeking to blind the what? The minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what Satan's up to today. Satan wants to blind lost souls from the truth of the gospel. He wants to see your mom or dad or lost brother, lost sister, aunt, uncle. He wants to see them in hell bad. That's what he wants. And he's trying to intimidate Christians to keep their mouth shut about the gospel so that that gospel message stays hid and the minds of those people stay blinded. See, that's what he's up to today. That's what he's trying to do. This is what Satan is doing today. Is he hates churches like this that are proclaiming the gospel. He hates churches that are equipping people, like our discipleship class that meets on Sunday afternoon. He hates that kind of stuff because we're equipping people to share their faith. He hates youth groups that are teaching their teenagers to share their faith. He can't stand for Christians to get into the Word and study and learn it. Why? Because he knows that'll equip you to go out and confidently share your faith with others. He can't stand it. So if we're going to make an impact before we check out and go to the place the choir sung about, heaven, if we're going to make an impact on this earth, in this wicked world system that we've been left in, we got to zealously proclaim the gospel. But number two, one other thought, last thought. Ready? Just two thoughts today. Number two, by renewing your mind through God's Word. If you're going to impact this world system, the people within it, you're going to have to renew your what? Mind through God's Word. Did you know God desires for you to think about this evil world system the same way He thinks about it? What's in the world today? You ever think about it? What? Did you know there's a verse that summarizes the world system that we're in? The Apostle John wrote, 1 John chapter 2, he said, "For all that is in the world," and then he tells you all that's in the world. You know what he says? "The lust of the flesh," some of you know this, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." He said, do you know God wants you to think about the world system? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride. God wants you to think about it the same way He thinks about it. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Well, wait a minute. If I'm supposed to think like Christ, what did Christ think about this world system? I mean, after all, Jesus lived in this evil world system for 33 years. What did Jesus think about this world system? Well, I'll tell you exactly. I mean, fortunately, we know exactly what Satan thought about this world. I mean, what Jesus thought about this world system. Listen to what Christ prayed to the Father in John 17. He said, "I have given them," in other words, His disciples, "I've given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world." His disciples, He said, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And then He said, "Father, I want You to sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." He said, you know, I'm not praying, Father, that You take them out of the world, because then there wouldn't be anybody left to tell anybody else how to get out of the bondage. Amen? He said, I don't want You to take them out. He said, but you know what? I do want you, Father, to keep them from the evil that's in the world. I want you to keep them untainted from this evil world system. And you know how Jesus said we keep ourselves untainted from the world system that we live in? He said we do it through the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. Do y'all believe this is the truth today? Here's the problem. Well, let me give you this statement. God knows, it's in your handout, God knows that you cannot be an effective ambassador if you think like the world thinks. Okay? If I think just like my lost coworker over here, and if I think just like he does, man, how in the world am I going to help him? You with me? You know, if I think just like this guy over here, and I play ball with him, or I work out at the gym with him, and I think, and he doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't know Christ, he doesn't know anything about the gospel, but I talk like him, act like him, think like him, laugh at the same stuff. I mean, I think like he does. Well, how in the world am I going to help him? I mean, God knows that teenagers, you can't help any of the other teenagers at school. If they're lost, you're saved, but you think just like they do, how are you going to help them? You see, God knows that we can't be effective ambassadors if we think like the world thinks. But here's the problem. When you got saved, you spent all your previous years before salvation thinking like the world thinks. I mean, I've said this over and over again. I'm going to repeat it. There's no delete button in your mind that's pushed when you get saved. Boy, don't you wish there was? But you know what? There's no delete button. All that worldly thinking's still there. The way you approached life before you knew the Lord was according to the worldly system we live in. Right? Well, when you get saved, there's no delete button. All that worldly... When I got saved, I was a teenager. My brother was 9 years older than me. He was in college. My brother got saved, and I mean his life radically changed. And I started getting under conviction as he would share the gospel with me here and there. And, you know, I was raised in a home in which it was a good home. My parents loved me. They spent time with me. They supported me. I mean, you know, my dad, he helped coach my baseball team. And man, my mom, she took good care of me. And it was a good home. My parents loved me. But I wasn't raised in a Christian home. In other words, the home I was raised in, biblical truth never entered the equation at all. Okay? The home I was raised in, it never was, okay, we got this issue, we got this problem, now let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. I mean, that just never happened. Biblical truth never entered the equation. So therefore, we handled everything with a worldly mindset. I mean, I was raised that way. That was ingrained in my mind for years. I thought like the world thought. So then you get saved. What? I mean, all that worldly thinking stored up in your mind. What are you supposed to do about that? I'm supposed to, you know, how in the world am I going to change all that? Go to Romans chapter 12 and let me show you this. Romans chapter 12. Just go a couple pages over there. And Romans chapter 12, what's the answer to the dilemma? Well, Romans 12 verse 1 is a great passage here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now here's the deal. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to what? I'm not supposed to be like the world. But be ye, what's the next word? Transformed. But wait a minute. How do I go out in a wicked world system and how do I live a transformed, changed life? Well, it tells you right there. The way I'm going to do it is by the renewing of my what? My mind. It all starts right here. I got to start thinking differently. You know what I got to start doing, church? Listen to me. I got to start thinking like God thinks instead of thinking like the world thinks. If I'm going to go out, and the rest of the verse says, go out and prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If I am not going to conform to this world system, then my thinking can't conform to it. I need a renewed mind, which leads to a transformed life. Now, how do I get a renewed mind? How do I change my thinking processes? That word renewed means renovated. You know what it means to renovate. You clean out the junk, you bring in some clean stuff, some new stuff. How do I get new thinking and clean out all the garbage? Well, how do I do that? Look in your handout. It says there's only one way to get a renewed mind, and that is through the truth of God's Word. Through the truth of God's Word. Look with me at the verse right under that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Okay? Is everybody looking at 1 Thessalonians 2:13? If you see that, say amen. Okay, let's read it then. I'll read it, and you just kind of read silently and read along. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men. Okay? But he said, you received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. But notice, what did the Word of God do when they received it by faith and believed it? What did the Word of God, what impact did it have on them? Look at the rest of the verse. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So, everything in this world system takes on a different look when I look at it through the lens of God's Word. And that's God's desire for you. He wants you to look at everything in this world system through the lens of God's Word. For instance, I'll give you a quick example, entertainment. The world puts a high premium on fun and entertainment. I mean, the world just puts a lot of stock in that. In fact, Paul said in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'll love their entertainment more than they'll love God. Now, the sad part is, he's describing lost mankind, but the sad part is that describes a majority of the church in America today, is that they love their entertainment more than they love God. They love their worldly forms of entertainment more than they love God. Most people in the church today. If you told most people, you know what, you're going to have to go the next week and not be able to read your Bible. Most Christians, that wouldn't be a sweat, no problem. But if you told them, you're not going to be able to look at the internet for the next week, they go into convulsions right in front of you. If you were to say, you're not going to be able to watch TV, no sports, no TV, no movies for the next month, I mean, it would be convulsion time. I mean, it'd just be total withdrawals. You know why? Because we love worldly entertainment more than we love God. Now that may be some medicine that doesn't taste real good when I say that. And it doesn't. Medicine doesn't always taste good when it's going down, but boy, it's good for you once it gets inside you. And if you just evaluate your life and say, do I love entertainment more than I love God? You come up with the answer. I'm not going to judge you. You answer that yourself. But you see, as believers, as Christians who are in a wicked world system, but yet we have a different spirit inside of us, when we immerse ourselves into the entertainment industry, okay, via internet, TV, movies, music, magazines, and when we immerse ourselves in the world's entertainment industry, you know what happens inevitably? We forget we're in a battle. We forget that the Bible says, and be sober, be vigilant, because you got an adversary, the devil, and he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And we forget that. But a believer who finds their delight in God's Word views all forms of worldly entertainment through the lens of God's Word. You see, Satan wants you to think like he thinks. And so we immerse ourselves into the entertainment industry, and sexual sin is something to laugh at. Blasphemy, oh, it's just part of the movie. You know, just part of the movie, make it realistic. I know they're blaspheming God and everything, but, you know, it's part of the movie. Oh, yeah? It's just music. I mean, I know that it's wicked and sensual what they're talking about, but it's just music. But you know what? As you begin to look at things through the lens of God's Word says, whatsoever things are true and honest and just, whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we begin to look at everything through the lens of, is it good? Is it holy? Is it just? Is it of good report? Is it virtuous? Is it full of praise? If not, then why do I need this in my life? Why do I need this? There's nothing wrong with enjoying a football game. Nothing wrong with that. Paul used sports analogies. I think Paul was obviously a sports fan. He used a lot of sports analogies. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with sports. My boys play sports and we'll watch sports. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what? There's a line that's crossed there where at our house, we have a rule. And that is as soon as the football game is going to commercial break, we know, my boys know to immediately, they turn the channel to a channel that's just blank. Where there's, it's like, in other words, kind of mute the picture. You say, why? Because who do they usually flash to right before they go to commercials? Now, don't act like you don't know, okay, guys? All the guys are sitting there going, I don't know. I don't know who they turn to. And every guy in here knows. If you watch football, you know they always go to the cheerleaders. And they hardly have any clothes on. And they're dancing around. And you know what? In our house, they know, you know what? Football's okay. Watching cheerleaders who are dressed like prostitutes on Second Avenue is not okay. So we're not going to just sit there and watch it like it is okay. So immediately, boop, it's zapped. As soon as it comes on, boop, zapped. See what I'm saying? You begin to look at things through the lens of God's Word. You know Satan wants to corrupt your mind? Do you know how Satan wants to corrupt your mind? In your handout, it says he must continually seek to indoctrinate you in the world's way of thinking. Some of you are still blown away by the whole cheerleader thing, I know. And I know some of you ladies are can't wait to get to the car and ask your husband, is that true? Do you look at those cheerleaders and do you lust after them? And your husband on the way home, oh, boy, no, I don't know what he was talking about. No, doesn't bother me at all. That's nothing. I can already hear it on the way home, you know. Just so you know, ladies, he's lying, okay? If he's a red-blooded man, it bothers him, all right? It provokes him to lust just like the rest of us guys, okay, in here. So, you know, just know that when he's watching the cheerleaders, he's not thinking, I wonder how I could lead them to Christ and get them saved. As he's sitting there watching them, that's not what's going through his mind, okay? Satan wants to indoctrinate you in the world's way of thinking. Do you understand that? Hey, if Satan can develop in you an appetite for the things of the world, then he knows that you will hunger and crave the sound doctrine and the good food of God's Word less and less. If you give a kid, you let a kid feed on cotton candy, and man, I mean you let that kid eat cotton candy morning, noon, and night, then you put down a big old plate of roast beef and mashed potatoes and cover it all in gravy. And that kid will turn his nose up at that because he has no appetite for good food. My wife's got a roast on the crock pot right now as we speak. Some of you are thinking, why don't you say amen and shut up then and let's go eat. Man, I tell you what, do y'all understand what I'm saying? When you develop a hunger and an appetite for the things of this world, just like a kid develops an appetite for cotton candy, you don't want the sound food of God's Word. Some of you wonder, you know, I don't really like reading the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't really enjoy coming on Wednesday night to Bible study. I don't really like coming back Sunday night. I don't really have a desire for all that. I go Sunday morning and I know I'm supposed to, and I go and I do the Sunday morning thing, but you know, I don't really want to, you know, get into the Bible. I don't want to get into all that. Why? Here's the deal. The more you feed on the carnal cotton candy of this world, the less you crave the good food of God's Word. That's just a fact. Okay? Paul, here's what happens. You're going to have things in this world system that are going to that are going to just hit you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. Worldly philosophy, worldly things just, boom, hit your mind. And that's where this verse comes in, if you could bring it up, where it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As soon as that worldly philosophy hits you, or that worldly image, or that worldly thinking, as soon as it hits your mind, what do? You take it captive. You bring that thought into the captivity of Christ. The problem is that believers today who knowingly go out and they indulge in and they feed on worldly things. They knowingly do it. The result is a worldly lifestyle. Worldly believers, do you know what worldly parents lead to? Come on, you know. What do worldly parents lead to? Worldly teenagers. And you know what worldly families lead to? Worldly churches. A worldly mindset in the church. And then you know what happens? To accommodate the worldly mindset of the people, to keep the crowds and the offerings up, churches begin to compromise and water down the truth of God's Word to make it more palatable to fit the worldly mindset of the people. And that's how you end up with churches like the churches of Laodicea, that He said, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, and God said, you make me sick to my stomach. And Paul said they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They know how to play church. They know how to play religion. But the power of God's Word is not changing their thinking. It's not changing their daily life. God's Word is not just so you can go around with a head full of knowledge. You can graduate from every Bible Institute class, and you can come to church, and you can learn God's Word, but it's not just for your knowledge. It's supposed to change your thinking, which in turn changes your life. Amen. That's what God's Word's supposed to do. It's supposed to change your life. To where, all of a sudden now, you make some decisions based on truth. That music doesn't honor and glorify the Lord. I don't need that in my life. What? Your thinking's changed because you've been in God's Word. It changed the way you look. I don't need that movie. That's wicked, man. That's just wicked. That's carnal. That's worldly. I don't need that movie or that TV show or that whatever that is. I don't need that in my life. That's just not honoring to the Lord. Amen. Why? God's Word's renewing your mind. See? But when you don't get much of this, but you get all the cotton candy of the world, then all of a sudden it just becomes okay. And I mean, it just swallows you up. It just sucks you in. And before you know it, Satan's laughing. There's another ignorant believer that I've assimilated into my world's way of thinking. God left you in this world for a reason. And in your handout, it says that reason is so that you can be a light and help bring other people out of darkness from Satan's world system. How are you going to do it? Zealously go out there and proclaim the gospel of Christ and renew your mind through God's Word. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father, we pray now, God, that You'll bless Your Word. Lord, I pray if there's some here this morning that are not saved and they do not know You, they will come to accept and know You as their personal Savior. Lord, may we zealously proclaim the gospel to those around us. And Father, may You renew our mind through Your Word. We love You and pray that we'll take what we've learned and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord, we'd love to have you come, and we'd love to take the Bible and show you.